Well, God's been speaking to us, and I hope those that are not here today that you're watching me online, because what I have to share is so important today. But God has been speaking to us. It started with Ralph last Sunday morning talking about love. Then Matt in the offering talked about love, and then Rachel's message was on love. Nobody knew what the other one was going to share. That was all by the Holy Spirit. That was not scripted out, planned. I knew what Rachel's title of her message was, but I didn't know what her message was. And then I shared with you last week that I'm starting a series called Crazy Love. So God is speaking to us. And never assume you've learned everything. That's not a healthy place to be. As I have said through the years, if you've not changed yet, you haven't learned yet. We can have tons of knowledge, but if I haven't changed, I haven't learned. So we need to be learners, right? So we're going to need to open our hearts and our minds today to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today. It's very, very important that we do. And for those of you watching me online, I'm going to ask you to try not to be too distracted, because it's easy in your house to do so. And so I'm going to ask you to be focused and get ready to hear some truth that's going to change, I believe, not only the church, but to change us personally in a good way, because we need to see some things that maybe we have missed. Father, we come to you in the powerful and most holy name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father God, for your presence here right now. And I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to each and every person, and every person online that's watching this morning. You're going to speak. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with a passage of Scripture that may not make a lot of sense right now, but it's going to make total sense to everybody in just a few moments. I'm going to be reading right now from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the very last two verses of that chapter. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. There is a reason that Paul did what he did, and we're going to learn the wholeness of why in his letters, that most of his letters, a lot of his letters, Paul did not pen them. Someone else penned them for him. But in the end of this, and most in other places in his letters, he writes in his own handwriting to prove this is from me. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite preachers, he died on May 12th, 1963. At the age of 66. Now, I want you to think about May of 1963, at the age of 66. And he made a quote just prior to passing away that I want to read to you this morning. The world lives in a time of crisis. Christians alone are in a position to rescue the perishing. We dare not settle down and try to live as if things were normal. Does that sound like something that should be said right now, this moment? Very relevant statement from Tozer. We've got to quit protecting our lives to have a normal life. We need to have an abnormal life that represents and filters out the reality that I'm a Christian. To be a Christian is to live a life that is not normal to everybody else's. Come on. But we want to settle into a normal because we want to protect ourselves from what? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and it's Paul speaking. I'm not going to give you the backdrop because it's not as important as what he says in this passage, but we will pick it up in verse 22. And he says, Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they self-proclaimed servants of Christ? I am speaking as if I were out of my mind. I am more so, for I exceed them. Pause. Let me clarify something here. Paul is not bragging to boast in how we like to boast and brag. Paul is making this statement to clarify what he's about to say. He is making a statement that I have served on a level that most all of you in the room have never served on for Jesus Christ. And then he's going to talk about what he has just proclaimed, that he is a servant of Christ, more so, more, exceedingly more than them. He says, with far more labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, and often in danger of death, 5 times I received the Jews' 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, and a night and a day I have spent adrift on the sea. Now let me shift to something as though I'm detaching from where we're going. You do not have to raise your hands. We don't have time for this. But I want you to take a moment and not just read the scriptures. I don't want you to just think about the things you've heard about Paul the Apostle. Maybe you've read a lot about Paul. Maybe you haven't read a whole lot about Paul. But what I want to ask you to do right now is think about, what does Paul look like? How do you envision what Paul looks like? What does he look like? Well, let me share with you what a survey has done. I've asked people, other people have asked people, in large groups they've asked people. And it's funny, recently I heard it again, and I was sitting there thinking, that's the same thing I always hear. Questions like, was Paul tall or short? Was Paul bald, thinning, or he had a full head of hair? Did Paul walk up straight? Did he walk with a stoop? Did he walk funny or walk normal? What about Paul's hands? Did he have medium-sized hands? Did he have large hands? Did he have small hands? Here's what most people say. They say Paul was short. People say Paul was bald. So feel good, guys. Paul was bald. That's what most people believe. People believe he stood up straight. He was a powerful man. And one of the most interesting things is that everybody thinks he had big hands because he was a tent maker. That his hands had, from all the muscle and working. My father was a short man. I don't even think he said he was 5'8", but not hardly. But, you know, he was maybe closer to 5'7", 7.5". My dad had large hands. So people believe Paul had large hands. Now, what we're about to do is we're going to live the scriptures and not just read the Bible. Okay? We're going to live them. And I'm going to take you on a journey of living scriptures versus just reading the scriptures. You may have seen it already. You may have noticed it before. Maybe you have never noticed it before. But what I'm about to reveal, the most important part of the whole thing is that Paul, the apostle, was crazy in love with Jesus Christ. Using the word crazy to identify this, when you're crazy for someone, it means that you are deeply in love with them and you will do anything for them and you will bear under anything for them. Jesus was crazy in love with the Father, and he was crazy in love with who the Father loved. Jesus was in crazy love towards you. He was willing to do whatever the Father needed him to do and to bear up anything that he had to go through. Now, that's to the world, that's crazy. Paul had crazy love. Just think about what I just read. Most people were probably telling Paul, that's crazy, Paul. This is crazy. You need to get another line of work. You need a new profession. This is crazy. You shouldn't love anybody this much after what you've been through. This is crazy. Paul had crazy love for Jesus. He was deeply in love with Jesus and was willing to do anything for him and bear up under anything for him. Because as you study the life of Paul, he loved who Jesus loved. He loved people, all kinds of people. And he just wanted them to know about his Jesus. Now in verse 24, let's go back. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Now this is the Jewish whip. This is not the Roman whip. It's different. Now the Jewish whip was barbaric punishment for anyone. And it was humiliating because they would strip you down from your clothing. Now, this whip, the Jewish whip, was made of a very tough cord, and it had knots in each cord, and they were unpredictable depending on who made them, how far apart they would be, how long they would be. And when they beat somebody with one of these, they were ruthless in the beating with one of these. Now, this whip that they beat them with did more than just make the skin swell. Listen carefully to what would happen. Taking into account 39 lashes, they strip Paul down. Most cases, they tie him to something. There are several different ways that they went about doing that. They would begin to beat him with these cords. When those cords hit your body, and many of you have experienced this, falling, having injuries, that the blood underneath your skin begins to break the vessels and it begins to swell. Now, I want you to think about this. We need to live the scriptures and quit just reading them. Live the scriptures. With every blow, there's more and more swelling. With every blow, now the skin is beginning to burst open. And they didn't just beat their backs. They would beat their legs. They would hit them high on their shoulders. Now think, and the whip would come around and slap them in the face. What did Paul look like in reality? 5 times he received the Jews 39 lashes. What did Paul look like when he stripped down to his waist? Or was in his undergarments? What did his legs look like? What might his face have looked like? That's crazy. Love, 5 times. And he kept going. He kept preaching. He kept seeking lost people. What did Paul look like? What do you think that did to his body? How did he maybe walk around? Let's live the scriptures. Let's begin to see what others saw back in the day. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now, this is the Roman rod. It was more like a long club made of birch wood. Now, when they use this, and Paul, how many times? Three times. He's had five times he's been hit with the Jewish whip. Now, three times with this Roman rod, more like a club, made out of birch wood most of the time. In most cases, more than one soldier would do the beating, on average two. And they would beat a person without mercy. They'd beat them all over. And then to top it off, they would either lay them down or turn them upside down and beat the bottom of their feet. What did Paul look like? How did he walk? You get beat with a club, you start having internal injuries, muscle injuries, and bones break. Come on. See, we don't want to hear all this, but listen, church, we need to hear all this. This is Paul the Apostle with crazy love for Jesus. And he kept going. But that's not all. He said also in verse 25, once I was stoned. Now let me tell you how the typical stoning took place. They would surround the person, and we think they're picking up little stones. No, they picked up whatever was available. They call it stoning. But if there was a brick, if there was a piece of wood, if there was a piece of metal, if they had such things in that way back then that something would be similar to that, it wouldn't matter. A club, you need to research what really went on in a stoning. It wasn't always just stones. They picked up whatever was there. Are we together now on that? And they threw it at a person. The first reaction is to do what?
To protect the head from the death blow.
Are you with me?
And then begin to shrink down into the smallest position you could get in, the fetal position, and then most people fell over in that position, still trying to protect their head.
I asked the question, what did Paul's hands look like? Why would he have others write for him? I ask those questions. I have answers for those questions. And when he wrote in his own handwriting, it must have been something so different that they knew it was him. But I'm not done with what happened to Paul. In Acts chapter 14, verse 19, we read the rest of the story. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. How did they drag people out of the city? We get the picture, they grab them by the arm, drag them out. That's not what they did. They tied them to a horse or a donkey, either by their feet or by their hands, drug them out to a place, in a lot of cases, over cobblestones. Bouncing along as they took him outside the city. What did Paul look like? Paul gets up, and guess what Paul does? I'm done. I've had enough. Paul goes back into the city and continues. Crazy love for Jesus Christ. We don't face this, do we? Here in America? No. They're facing it in other countries. But we don't face this. So the question has to be asked. Are we crazy in love with Jesus like Paul was? We have to ask that question. Are we crazy in love with Jesus like Paul? In just a moment, I'm going to read something that I've penned. This will be the first of two things you're going to see today that won't be the last time you see it, because they're going to be in my journals, my devotional journals that are going to be that the publisher we hope will have ready by Easter. We have two devotionals coming out. that you can use. This won't be the last time you read this, because they're pinned in my devotionals. But listen carefully. Be on the screen. As the church, are we navigating our lives to avoid sharing the good news gospel? We, and I mean the entire church, are called to preach the good news gospel to the world around us. Let me state again what preaching is. It's not this. Okay? Preaching. And then there's the teaching from the preaching. But the preaching is the declaration of the good news gospel. Okay? You don't have to be loud. You can speak soft. You can speak monotone. You can do whatever you are. As long as you're sharing the gospel, you're preaching. And the church is called to preach the gospel. The church has had it wrong for a long time that preaching's right here. No, there's preaching happens here. There's teaching happens here. But the preaching is supposed to be happening outside these walls every week. Sharing our gospel stories. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching the truth. Whether you talk loudly or you talk softly. I loved what Alex said the other night to us. He said, you know, when the Spirit comes on me, I start getting quiet and then get quieter and quieter and then you don't kind of hear me. But when the Spirit of God comes on Rochelle, she gets louder and louder and louder. It doesn't matter if you're soft or loud. If you're declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're preaching. Are we preaching? Are we in love with Jesus Christ? The Jesus that Paul met on the road to Damascus, he fell in love with him. We have all had our experience with Jesus when we came to Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Are we still in love with him like we were then? We should be, because he's done a whole lot more since then. Are we sharing the good news gospel? And we don't go through what Paul went through, but Paul continued to share the gospel with his body broken. Come on. Scars, visible scars. Visible scars. I can imagine what people's reaction was when he would take his cloak off to get to wash his body from the dirt and the dust. Can you imagine? Are we in love with Jesus? Reinhard Bonnke said, you may not be allowed to stand on the pulpit in your church to preach, but every junction in your area is a pulpit. Stand there and preach. Are we in love with Jesus? I'm going to keep saying this today. Are we in love with Jesus? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the uncompromising righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives. For God, as a fisher of men, he gathers and receives them for eternity. Do we love Jesus Christ? What are we doing about capturing people? Are we so consumed in our world that the only thing that matters is my world? Are we sharing our Jesus stories? You don't need special training. You don't have to compose a sermon. You don't have to have Colin teach you how to speak. You don't have to know at least 50 scriptures and have them memorized. You don't have to have key stories in the Bible downloaded in your brain. You don't need that. Don't have to have any of that. The only qualification for preaching is to be a Christian, born again, saved person who loves Jesus Christ. So in this room, not asking for hands to be raised, if you're a Christian, you're qualified. You're qualified. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." A couple of different passages where we say it's the Great Commission. I like to call it the great moment where God said, "Go tell your stories about me." "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'll read it again. "And behold, I am with you always." Stop fearing people. Don't fear people. You are not alone. Share the gospel. He is with you. Yeah, but was God with Paul? Yes. Think about going through all of that and still have the strength to go forward and keep doing missionary journeys after all of that. Come on. God was with him. But he had crazy love for Jesus. Witnessing is not difficult. The church has made it difficult because we tell everybody, if you don't do it this way, here's 10 steps, here's 20 steps, you've got to read this book, you've got to go to this workshop, you've got to read this manual. And if you get all that right and you do it exactly as it says, then you can go witness. It's made a lot of money for some folks, and somebody's not going to like what I just said. But you don't need any of that. As I've said before, you don't have to know the Roman road. Don't have to know how to take a napkin at the restaurant, have a mountain here and a mountain here, and build a bridge between them with a cross. You don't know how have to know how to do all that. You need one verse in one book, this book. And it's 1 John 1:3. "That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you." What have you seen and heard? Christian, report that to others. Tell your stories of what you've seen, what you've heard, what Jesus has done for you. You don't need the Roman road. You don't need to know how to draw a picture. You don't need to read the next book, the latest, greatest witnessing tools. What you need to do is take the greatest witnessing tool on planet Earth, you, and share your stories. Share your stories. It's not difficult. In the same way of what they're talking about, you share your experiences. But let me add something to that. Do it with enthusiasm. "Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus did for me." Well, no, that's not how we do that. Though I've experienced people doing that. No. What Jesus has done for you is worth getting excited about and telling somebody about it. Don't come up all serious. "Oh, brother." No. With the enthusiasm and the excitement of the moment that it happened for you, you convey that to them. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Stop. I'm not going to read any more of that verse. The question being posed today and online, anybody watching, are we ashamed of the gospel? Then we need to be sharing our Jesus stories. We need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not wallowing in what I'm going on and I just don't feel like it. No. Man, that's the time you need to be jumping up and down and going, "This is the season, man. Devil's not going to have this time in my life. I'm going to do something fruitful." Well, what if they don't listen to me? Plant the seed anyway. Someone else will come along and do some more work. One person told me one time, so people won't listen to me. And I said, well, make yourself friendly. Maybe they will. Don't be a know-it-all. Be a humble man and woman of God. And position yourself so people will listen to you. It's very important. Pin truth, to preach the good news gospel is to do something life-giving. The church is called to be life-givers, not part of the church, all of the church are to be life-givers, all of us. What did Paul look like? We look pretty good compared to what I see how Paul looked. And it didn't stop Paul from sharing the gospel. If anything, it motivated him even more. Somebody rejects you, doesn't listen to you, it should motivate you. Okay. Next person. Until it lands. And now I'm going to read my final statement again. You'll see this again in one of the two devotionals that I've written coming out, I hope, by Easter. But I don't want you to just hear me. I want you to let it sink into your spirit as I read these words and you see it on the screen. People's eternity is at stake. When the gospel is no longer the main thing, the next generation may be lost when it becomes assumed. As Christians, we must take note. What are our lives centered around? Is it centered around our success? Is it centered around our comfort and safety? Or is it centered on the good news gospel? A gospel that the church needs to proclaim to a broken world. Now, you know I penned it with the next words. Mind-blowing, miraculous moments. Await those who will love Jesus so much that you will share your Jesus stories. Are we in love with Jesus? Are we? Are we in love with Jesus' stories? I wish this place was full to hear this message. Because that's the first thing we should be doing. It should be the main thing that we're doing as a church. Is sharing the gospel. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm shy. Well, share the gospel being shy. Just be shy all you want, but share it. Do it quietly. You may have your head down the whole time you're sharing it because you're shy. But share. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church family, this opening message is totally disconnected from the next two messages in this crazy love message. From where I will be taking us on a journey to some other things. But if we don't hear the next two, this one we need to hear and know. One, stop reading the Bible, start living the Bible. Get in there and live the Bible. Know what's going on. Don't just read it. Oh, that's cool. Paul went through all these things. Oh, wow. You know, no, stop. What did these things do to Paul? And he still preached. Come on. Let's ask that honest question. Would I? God was with him. Can you imagine the beatings that he took and the stonings and the shipwreck. I didn't even go there, what that does to your body. God was always with him to strengthen him on the journey. God will always be with you, and he will strengthen you for the journey. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Show the world that you're more in love with Jesus than you are with the world and the things you have. That Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. To the point that someone might come to you and go, I don't know if I need to ask you to do this because I'm concerned that this will not be something you'll want to do because it's outside of your life with Jesus. That we're impacting people in such a way that they recognize what's the main thing in our lives. Is it Jesus? I'm going to ask Rochelle to come to the platform for this for a reason. I'm going to ask Colin and Tiffany to come to the platform. I'm going to ask Adri to come to the platform. My daughter, son-in-law, my other daughter and son-in-law are here this morning. And, of course, most of you know Daniel and Rosemary live almost in Lido and attend a church over there. But we're going to join hands, and I want you to see a picture of something that's important. We're family, okay? We're family. And they know where mom and dad stand. And they know what we're going to do and what's first. But guess what? You're our family, too. And you are family to each other. You're a part of the church. And the world needs to know who we are. They need to know what is the main thing in our life. So I'm going to ask you to stand, step across the aisles, and take hands with the person across from you. And as a family, and if you're online with us this morning, if you are with a family member or a friend, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your recliner, off your sofa, off the floor. I'm going to ask you to join hands with the person that's with you. I know some of you told me you're going to be watching from work. We join hands with you this morning. And today, North Elevation Church, we're going to start making the main thing the main thing. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning as you showed me a vision of a church joined with clasped hands saying, here am I. Send me. Father, today, North Elevation Church, here in this building, online, some will hear the message later. Father, here we are. Send us. As we declare what the main thing is in our lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for your promise that you're always with us. The Holy Spirit is with us, in us, always about our lives. And I thank you, Father God, that we have no need to fear any man. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lily of the Valley. And we worship you today. And decree and declare that you are the main thing. Jesus, you are the main thing. And the gospel of life is the main thing. We thank you, Father, for always being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.